SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
It's level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it.
Let's do this thing. I was just talking a couple of moments ago about, I don't know, where did this come up from? Because we were talking about what sold for $10 million. Something, some sports memorabilia sold for $10 million a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about it. It was the largest, it was the biggest sports sale ever. What was it? It was $10 million. What the hell was it? Somebody will remember. Our Game Time Decisions audience is better at this stuff. These late night dudes, they're in their own world. Game Time Decisions, people would already have answered me. Because I was talking with Cam and Sherpen about this. What the hell was it? $10 million. It wasn't a card. Was it a game? I think it was a game-worn jersey. Whose jersey was it? It'll come to me. It'll be one of those, oh, yeah, that's what it was. I'll look it up, actually, too. But over the weekend, this is one of these deals I never really thought about. Hey, where is this guitar right now? But Jim Irsay, owner of the Indianapolis Colts, bought the guitar that Kurt Cobain played, Smells Like Teen Spirit, with, and it was in the video. It's a Fender Mustang, $4.9 million. $4.9 million he paid for Kurt Cobain's guitar. Which leads me, I'd like to know, like, where did he, who had it, who ended up selling it? Like, who would have that after? I guess it would end up in his estate. I guess that's probably what it would have happened. But who knows, right? Because I don't know. I don't even know if he had a will or anything like that, right? So I don't know how it would end up, like, how it would end up at an auction after the fact. But somebody just cashed in. I hope it is. If anybody, I really hope it is his daughter or something, right? That, you know, it's just a guitar and whatever. You know what I mean? There's no sentimental value to it, to them. And it's like, well, whatever. We can get $5 million for it. He'd prefer us to get to $5 million than have this guitar. Because, yeah, he played Smells Like Teen Spirit on it, but I don't know if it was his favorite guitar. There could be a couple other ones that they have, right? Oh, it was Maradona. There it is. God. See, I knew I would think about it on my own. It was Maradona's jersey. $10 million. And shout out to Z in our chat. He's correct. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We were kicking it and rocking the other night. We busted out the Jackson guitar. But when I die, my guitar will not be worth $4.9 million. Probably be worth about $490. Although face value is worth more than that. But Kurt Cobain's guitar sold to Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay for $4.9 million. That's an expensive guitar that he has. Now, speaking of rocking, the Golden State Warriors have been rocking. Ian Cameron's going to step up and in and join us. We're going to get into the pucks with Bano. Man, what a crazy weekend of sports once again. The last couple of weekends have really been off the hook. Right. Today was one of these days, too, where the sun was shining. And I'm like, man, I really like to get out. But I've got money on this game. I got money on that race. I got money on the tennis match. I bet on a little bit of everything. I dipped my beak into everything today. And I tell you what, we had a great day. We did not have a great night because we were on the Dallas Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors won by 9. We were on the over that basketball game. The game stayed under by, what, 8? Game stayed under by, we lost by 9. The game stayed under by 8. We were on the Calgary Flames. That did not go well. And I tell you what, Matthew Tkachuk, Keith Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk, or whatever the hell the kid's name is, Tkachuk, all right, they all need to stop talking so much, all right? Tkachuk just keeps talking and talking and talking. Worry about putting a damn puck in the net because, well, you're talking and you're telling Evander Kane that he went bankrupt and how broke he is. He ain't going to be broke courtesy of you because he's got another hat trick, all right? So, if anything, I figure if I'm the Calgary Flames, if I'm the coach of the Flames, I tell my players, stop taunting them and shut up, all right? Just go out there and play hockey because they're playing better hockey than you are right now. It's a war of attrition going on in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. We'll get into to game four here. Now, listen, you guys know pretty much every one of our guests comes on this program and is annoyed to the Boston Celtics is the great one. Oh, the Celtics this, the Celtics that. Celtics can beat the Warriors. The Celtics should be favorites. Yeah, whatever. Let's see the Celtics actually beat the Miami Heat first, right? Now, I don't know what the deal with Jimmy Butler is. You know, Marcus Smart, everybody's going in and out and stuff. And I'm tired of hearing about the comparisons. Like, we saw Mike Smith tonight. It's like players are starting to really play this thing up. They all know they're on camera in the hallways coming back in now. Oh, is there a camera on me? I didn't know. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Let's talk baseball with the three-time champion, general manager, A-Ball, affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays with the Vancouver Canadiens. Jason B. Takafin steps up and in to break it down with us. Jason, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I was having a leisurely week, updating some lines and props, and then, holy moly, look what happens between the White Sox and Yankees yesterday. Josh Donaldson, Tim Anderson. Like, that came out of nowhere.
You know, it really did, and it's funny that you say that because I had noticed last week just how much fun baseball had been this year.
Yeah.
You know, Pujols pitching, everybody getting a laugh out of it, Longoria wanting the ball, and I've seen a lot of guys, even after hard slides at second base, talking to each other, and, you know, people, you can just tell, like, a lot of players are having fun. And there's been a younger generation of players that have tried to bring fun to the game. And then you have sort of the old school guys that hate the new school guys that want to bring fun to the game, which leads us into Tim Anderson, who wants to bring fun to the game and has rubbed people the wrong way over the years. And a guy like Josh Donaldson, who's one of these old code type of dudes. So everybody knows what happened now, but just quickly, for whatever reason, if you didn't, I always hate when I'm listening to people talk about something and they're like, how come they didn't say what happened? But everyone knows, but essentially, Josh Donaldson said to Tim Anderson, hey, what's up, Jackie? In reference to Jackie Robinson, due to an interview that Tim Anderson did with ESPN the magazine a couple of years ago, which he said he views himself as a modern day Jackie Robinson. Tim Anderson did not take the comment very well. Josh Donaldson said after, I said this to him before in Atlanta once, and he didn't have the same reaction. Tony La Russa just went crazy after the game and basically said Josh Donaldson is a racist. I could go on. We know what happened. What's your take on what happened?
Yeah, I don't think Josh Donaldson is a racist. If anything, Josh Donaldson is maybe guilty of thinking he's friends with someone that he isn't. He is probably guilty of thinking that that joke landed very well. It is a very easy thing for Tony La Russa to over-engage with because the White Sox have been very underachieving this year. They haven't done very well, and he's still in the shadow of Ricky Renteria, the manager of the White Sox that kind of brought them to the precipice last year before they won the division and made the playoffs and lost in the first round. La Russa is probably trying to grasp at anything to make team unity. I don't think Josh Donaldson would say that maliciously. I don't. The concept of him being a capital R racist because of that is awful. And I actually, I almost sort of take offense to it in the sense of like, there's real racism out there. That is not one of them. Again, I think Josh Donaldson is more guilty of trying to be at the cool kids table or trying to think that he's friends with everybody. And then, as happens with these things, people say, oh yeah, Josh Donaldson lives in his own world. He's, you know, people start taking snipes at him. Look, this guy follows sports 24/7. You can see from his Twitter feed. He is literally always engaged online. It is very possible that he read that article and that he's referencing that article. And Tim Anderson either wasn't having it that day or it just they're not friends and he doesn't have a right to say that to him. But I do not think that he is a racist.
This is a story that Major League Baseball does not want or need, that the game doesn't need. And I agree as far as Tony La Russa is concerned, Jason, in which, you know, Tony La Russa just took it to the next level after the fact. It's one thing to say, listen, words were exchanged and it's between them. But to just point to come out and listen, as you stated, Josh Donaldson's been around the league a long time. And now, as you stated, the pile-on always comes on. Well, how come he's not in this clubhouse anymore, right? And you know, we've seen former teammates say, listen, he was never liked wherever he's been before. But nobody's ever accused this guy of being a racist before. I mean, like, let's just be real. He's been in the league a long time. I think, and we could all read it differently. We don't know. We don't know what's in his mind. I personally think that he said it sarcastically. Yeah, I think that Donaldson thinks, hey, here's the kid that thinks he's Jackie Robinson, right? Hey, what's up, Jackie? Right? And you know, Donaldson's got an ego. Donaldson's got attitude out there. He's a competitor. That's the way I read it. And like you said, Anderson's thinking, who the F are you, bro? What? And then, like, because the way he said it, he goes, well, I read that interview and what she said, he was Jackie Robinson. So I sort of got the feeling from that rubbed Donaldson the wrong way. But point blank, as a white dude, just don't do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's just cut to the chase.
Well, they're also not friends. If they were better friends, or if the article was maybe a week ago, that's one thing. There was an incident a couple of weeks ago.
That's a good point. The article is from like 3-4 years ago.
Slide, and there was a little pushing and shoving. So that's why this iteration of it is, hey, like, we're not friends because you lowered your leg to impede me and I could have gotten hurt. That was last week. So there might be some bad blood. But I'll tell you, if you and I were having this conversation last week about Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson, like, before this fracas, I would say I would want those guys on my team. Like, that's the ideal left side of your infield, right? You want – they play with a ton of urgency, intensity.
Well, they're both competitors in different ways.
Yeah, but they are both very committed to their craft, right? Tim Anderson's probably the best superstar that no one knows because the White Sox just haven't been very good. Josh Donaldson, of course, is the AL MVP from 2015. He's an amazing player also, and they're both kind of surly in a good way, and you kind of want that, right? Like, you want that in your players. A lot of Yankees fans are pretty excited about getting Donaldson because he had a lot of FU to him, and they kind of need that to offset the Rizzos and Judges and Gerrit Coles, and that's a good thing. Like, I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing.
Well, he was definitely one of the spark plugs and leaders of that Toronto Blue Jays run from years ago.
Yeah.
And a clear fan favorite. As well. So like I said, just, you know, anytime, like, you know, you say racist and this and that, it's not good. It's, you know, it's not good. And I think, you know, something you said too is true. I think the White Sox are frustrated as well. The Yankees have beaten them up pretty good this year for the most part. You know, the Twins are in first place. La Russa's always frustrated and angry. I don't know if you saw after. He didn't want to take questions from people from New York. He's like, well, who are you with? He's like, I'm only taking questions from local guys. Like, it's like, dude, like, really? Like, if someone's credentialed and in your office, Skip, you got to take their question, bro.
Yeah, he's too veteran to know. You know, he's trying to.
Oh, he was trying to stir the pot.
He's making this.
He's trying to set a fire up in his clubhouse.
Yeah.
But conversely, on the other side, Donaldson, I'm sure, spoke to the Yankee clubhouse, right? And said, hey, listen, this is what I was thinking, and this is what happened. Because the Yankees have a good thing going. The last thing they need, because let's say somebody, you know, players on the Yankees go, hey, bro, I'm offended by this myself, right? Like, he has to put that fire out And if I'm the Yankees, I'm thinking, seriously, bro, like, we got a good thing going here. I don't need this controversy in my room right now.
That's the other thing that La Russa could be doing, is he's trying to break up and defeat.
Cause problems with
a
the
great team. Is a team that, you know, that after the first quarter of the season, the best team in the American League. Again, La Russa's been around for a very long time. He is nothing if not a savvy veteran, and he knows what he's doing with these comments, and he probably wants to get a little bit of a civil war inside the Yankees clubhouse too. Donaldson said that he extinguished the problem. There was no issues with it in his clubhouse. And I think we're going to move on with it. I think Major Baseball might do an investigation. I can't imagine there is something to it outside of people just talking badly about Donaldson and former teammates talking badly about Donaldson. But that's not the first time in baseball or even sports that's happened. Doesn't mean you're a racist.
Jason P. Tackerfin kicking it to what it says. I stated, it's not a story that anybody needs. And it's going to get some national attention tomorrow on the talk shows.
Yeah. Right?
You know, the playoffs and you see what happened and you see it, especially with the Yankees and, you know what I mean, the two big media markets, especially with Chicago. So this story is going to linger due to the mainstream media earlier in the week, and we'll see where it goes. But I think we just both nailed it. I think, was it don't do it in the future. He's not your buddy. He didn't like it. He didn't think it's funny. La Russa is clearly just trying to light something, get something going in his clubhouse to get this team on track. And the Yankees, no doubt, just want to put this fire out and get back to kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah.
So the real story of the weekend should be San Diego and Manny Machado and what these guys did going into the Bay Area. But this salaciousness of the Donaldson and the Anderson story is going to get the media attention, but we'll break down San Diego and what's going on in the National League West on the other side. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. We're kicking it in SoCal. SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Let's talk baseball right now in the state of California because, man, every team in the state is having a great year except for one.
Yeah.
And that's the Oakland Athletics. And we'll get to Montas's injury in a couple of moments. But you and I have talked a lot about Manny Machado and him being the front runner for National League MVP. He's not just a front runner. He's starting to run away from the pack right now. What a weekend he had. What a weekend San Diego had. Wow. San Francisco, bro, it's not an easy place to go in and sweep those guys.
I know. It was a great atmosphere there. I was watching a few games on TV. It's a great rivalry what they have going on in the NL West with LA, San Diego, San Francisco. I love the fact that they all have, it's like a little nexus of hate. It's great. And I know you and I...
And it represents different parts of the state. You're right. It's just
you perfect. And I on Twitter, this is a few months ago, talk about how like West Coast fans, they'll kind of throw it in your face, like East Coast fans, about sellout streaks and all these different things. They kind of just do their thing, right? And the Dodgers have had the quietest sellout. They've led the league in attendance from 2013 to 2019. Obviously, we'll discount last 2 years because of COVID. The San Francisco Giants had one of the longest sellout streaks. Also, of course, the Phillies as well. But you don't hear about it very much. And that's why these three teams, the Padres, Giants, and Dodgers, they're amazing. And their fans know that they're amazing. Every time they play each other, it is a massive rivalry. Machado right now would probably win the MVP at like a Tom Seaver level, like when he was winning Cy Young's, like 98% and up. I don't know who you can confidently vote for, anybody else, where you can say they're having a better year than Manny Machado. Every time we talk about him leading the league in batting average, hits, runs, on-base percentage, OPS, OPS plus, he's doing it without Fernando Tatis Jr., the star player of the team. Every time I mention Machado, he has a lot of Yevgeny Malkin vibes to him and that he plays his best when Crosby is gone. He is doing this without the best player on the team. It is incredible what he is doing.
Well, there was good news, bad news as far as Fernando Tatis Jr. was concerned this week. The good news is, while there's a time frame, the bad news is it's not until late June, although yeah. We should say, listen, the club is winning baseball games right now without him, and it's a long season. So you'll have July, August, September. You'll have time to get into a groove. But as Jason just talked about, as far as Manny Machado, he leads the National League in WAR
in offensive war, batting average, on-base percentage, and hits. He's up to 374 right now, bro. Hitting for power and hitting 374. Man, you and I talked about him when he was plus 650, and he fell to plus 300. But at this point, I mean, the only really thing that can stop him right now really would be an injury. And for the record, he's down to plus 200 right now.
Yeah,
plus 200, bro.
The only thing that can really sort of stop him would be if someone like a Bryce Harper takes the Phillies from 8 games back of the Mets and just goes on an absolute tear, someone that has name recognition, someone that you would have to vote for because in the last 100 games they will have had this unbelievable run because, of course, Bryce Harper is still injured. The Phillies are a very Jekyll and Hyde team. I don't see anybody else really taking it from him. I'm a huge fan of Jazz Chisholm Jr. The Marlins are kind of, they're taking one step forward, two steps back.
I got one guy I'll throw at you. A guy that's starting to heat up here right now.
Mookie Betts.
Yes, sir. After that slow start, like, dude, he's really putting numbers up right now. And he's starting to heat up. And you know, you've seen this guy play his entire career. He's only going to get better as the season goes on.
He's incredible. He's also batting leadoff, so he's going to get those extra bats. He's got Freddie Freeman batting in back of him. And that's the Dodgers are doing this without Justin Turner or Cody Bellinger particularly doing very much offensively. Yeah, Betts, I think Betts is diluted by his amazing team. And I think you're going to look at Kershaw and Gonsolin and all the beef that they have. And I think that that will cost them at the MVP balance. By the way, in the same thing that Burns, Peralta, Lauer, all the great arms that the Brewers have, dilute them when they want to go win MVPs and Cy Youngs and stuff. It's difficult. Like, it's you almost get punished when you have a great team because it's used against you. And I hate that argument because it's a team sport, and it's not your fault if you have a great team around you. Not to mention, if you're a free agent, let's say like Manny Machado was, you went to a team who you knew that their owner was going to spend money, and they were very aggressive. And it always gets held against people, and I really don't like it. And by the way, just as we're talking about this, I think you're going to start to see that in the American League. Aaron Judge is going to get priority treatment over Mike Trout if they continue like this, because Aaron Judge is the homegrown Yankee. They're going to want to stick it to the Yankees. He bet on himself, quote unquote.
That's a good point.
Mike Trout finally has a great team, you know, finally has a lot of...
And they're going to want to have East Coast versus West Coast to have somebody, not just it's between Ohtani and Trout. No, it's between Ohtani, Trout, and Judge.
It's a very easy narrative to play, especially because Aaron Judge is a first rounder, homegrown. And lest we forget that the writers voted in Jose Altuve as the AL MVP in 2017, and Aaron Judge won Rookie of the Year that year, and Aaron Judge was second in MVP voting, and Altuve got busted for cheating with that whole scandal, and it costs Judge a lot of money because those MVP awards are factored into the arbitration and a Super 2 status, and maybe he feels it. I'm not spreading anything. I'm not saying – I'm just thinking maybe Aaron Judge feels that the Yankees didn't go to bat for him enough during that era, and he's going to make them pay at the free agency mark.
Jason B. Tackenford, kick it with us. I am Gabe Morenci. Sunday, Bloody Sunday, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Networks and more. Ohtani is plus 210 to be the MVP in the AL. Mike Trout is plus 450. Right now, Aaron Judge, the aforementioned Aaron Judge, is plus 450. But one guy that nobody is talking about, but one of the reasons why the Angels are so good this year. Listen, they spent a lot of money on their bullpen. You and I talked about this coming into the season. Yeah. And I said, man, they spent a lot of money on their bullpen, and it's worked for them. Their starting pitching's been good. It's always been a health situation when it comes to their stars. But talk to me about Taylor Ward. Yeah. Here's a player at 28 starting to break out right now, but he's been rock solid for them this year.
Yeah, he's a first-rounder from 2012, and I know you're a big fan of the following expression, you can't judge trades or drafts for a few years.
Yep.
Taylor Ward was their first-rounder in 2012. That's 10 years ago. He's batting leadoff, and he has Ohtani and Trout, or Trout and Ohtani, batting in back of him. Brandon Marsh also, who's a second-rounder from 2016. Listen, Taylor Ward's leading the league in walks, batting average, on-base, OPS, OPS+. I know I just said about Mike Trout that he may get punished, but that's how good Mike Trout is. It's he is being the backbone up for his teammate, that he can see great pitches, and he's able to swing the bat a little bit. And I think that's perfectly fine with Taylor Ward and the Angels. You know, it's funny that we talked about La Russa before, about doing this team-building event by making it seem like Donaldson's a racist. Because Joe Maddon did a little team building event when the team was 3-4, if you remember, in the opening weekend of the season when they had the bases loaded, and he intentionally walked in a run. And that made the Angels 3-4. And since then, they are 23-14. They are one of the best teams in baseball. They are first in Major League Baseball in homers, fifth in hits, second in runs. And their pitching, like you said, it has been pretty stellar. Fourth in ERA, first in shutouts, third in whip. I'm not going to say that those two things are correlated, but the Angels are doing something right. And here's another thing, is that Justin Upton's $28 million is coming off the books this year. They have a lot of money coming off the books next year. I know they have a lot of pitchers who are free agents. This could be a team that goes after a player who is under contract, maybe a pitcher, because they can afford it. Artie Moreno, the owner, has never been shy about spending money, ranging from your CJ Wilsons to your Albert Pujols to your Mike Trouts. And if you look at some of the names of guys who are on teams, Madison Bumgarner, he's got $14 million coming to him in 2024. He's only 32 years old. Marcus Stroman, he knows the GM of the Blue Jays, Per Minasian, from the time, the GM of the Angels from their time in Toronto together. Kyle Hendricks, $16 million vesting option in 2024. This could be a team that doesn't go after a free agent, doesn't go after someone like Kyle Gibson from the Phillies, who they can go after someone with term to either offset some of the cost, or they can say, no, we're good now. We've spent a lot of time in the toilet. We want to be very good now. Our guys are finally blooming now.
From a future betting perspective, what do you prefer, the Angels to make the playoffs at minus 160 or them to win the division at plus 220? Are they good enough? Can they really survive 162 games with the Astros? And what about minus 160? Do you think the Angels are a playoff team?
Yeah, I think they're definitely a playoff team. I think, you know, I was very bullish on the Mariners. They're not doing very well. But again, Gabe, these guys are doing really well. Like I said before, they are 23-14 after the first week of the season.
And a serious run differential too, Jason. Like if you look, only the Yankees actually have a better run differential in the American League.
Also, Anthony Rendon is just starting to get hot right now. Anthony Rendon, he of the top, of the five top 11 NL MVP or MVP finishes. That's a big piece. He's a big ticket, making $35 million a year. He's starting to get it going. He's got an OPS of 920 in his last 14 days, even better in the last week. They are doing this without him. He is their cleanup hitter. He is a stud. And if he gets going to add to that to offset, if a Taylor Ward starts to regress a little bit, maybe Ohtani also starts to regress a little bit, unlikely, but they have Rendon getting going. Minus 160 is like free money to me. That's a great, that's an absolutely great number, especially because the AL Central is so bad that there's only about two good teams there, maybe one and a half if you include the half of the White Sox. They're not doing so great. That's a pretty good number.
Jason, we've got about a minute left, so let's call it the bottom of the ninth right now. Met fans always expect the worst, and is it starting to happen right now? Can they absorb this? What's your opinion now that Max Scherzer's out for 6 to 8 weeks?
Scherzer's out. Tylor Megale, I don't want to underemphasize how important he has been. He was obviously part of that no-hitter. Listen, Cookie Carrasco's 4-1. He's on pace for 180 innings. Chris Bassett, last year, he led the league in the highest winning percentage. He's been great. He's on pace for 190 innings. Taijuan Walker also. They brought in Buck Showalter for this stress crisis management. They're 8 games up on their second-place team. I don't think they're going to make a knee-jerk reaction. They got veterans like Canna and Starling Marte and Eduardo Escobar for this to be even keel. The sky is not falling. I cannot say that in any other year, because usually when the sky is falling for the Mets, it is literally falling. Here it is not. Buck Showalter to the rescue.
Jason B. Takafin. Follow him on Twitter. Listen to his podcast. Jason, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Gabe, thank you so much for having me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brian, care to place a wager? Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Bet.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Thanks to Jason B. Akinfev for kicking it with us. All right, Babano will join us in level 3. We'll get into some NHL hockey.
I'm in a baseball mood right now for a couple moments. We'll get into the NBA as well, but a lot of stuff to unpack there. We'll get to the Donaldson and Anderson stuff a little, although pretty much everything has been said. But as far as Aaron Judge is concerned, we discussed Aaron Judge's future a little bit, and it's interesting. Aaron Judge is already shut down contract talks with the New York Yankees for the season. And as Jason alluded to, and like I said, Jason was a general manager in A-ball. A lot of these guys came up. He's been around them and stuff. He's got good contacts in baseball still. He's, you know, he worked in baseball with these executives and stuff. You know, that the word is that Aaron Judge, the fact that the Yankees let it get this far, it's a problem for them. It's a problem for them. And another thing is, there's a lot, like, don't just automatically assume, oh, there's no way, like, he's going to re-sign with the Yankees. Well, no, it's not. Like, you know what I mean? They let it get this far, so he basically said, all right. And he basically, he announced, I'm not talking about it anymore until after the year, and I'm going to be a free agent. And there are going to be teams that come after him. Now, the market for mega superstars isn't usually as big as the mega superstar would hope, right? Manny Machado ending up with San Diego, as great as it's worked out for him and them, it wasn't, you know, the first choice, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of time, like Harper, same thing. Harper didn't think, I'm going to leave Washington, and I'm from Las Vegas, and I'm going to go from Washington to Philadelphia. You know, I mean, the Dodgers, he thought the Dodgers and all these mega teams would come after him, and they didn't. You know, the Yankees asked him if he would be a DH type thing, I think. Like, the Yankees met him. He was all jacked to meet with the Yankees, and the Yankees insulted him. They basically said, well, listen, would you be considered being a DH and playing first base? Like, they insulted him. The Dodgers offered him, like, mega, a lot of money, the Dodgers offered Harper, but a shorter deal. I think the Dodgers, they almost, like, they, it was like they didn't really want him, but they sort of did and didn't. I think they offered him $150 million for 3 years. I think they said, listen, we'll give you, like, serious money, but on a shorter-term deal. Like, we don't do 7-8, you know, we're not doing one of these 10-year, like, things that you want to do. But I think they might even got up to $200 for 4 years. I think that's where they topped out. So, like I said, like, the market wasn't there. Right? You know, the market isn't there for a lot of these guys that they think is going to be there. But with Judge, it will be. He's injury prone, but he's only going to be 30 years old. He's a likable guy. There'll be franchises. You can weaken the Yankees by getting him away from the Yankees. And if he feels like the Yankees have offended him by letting him get this far, then this is going to be a problem for the Yankees. Because I'll tell you what, it's not George Steinbrenner there anymore. All right, it's his sons, and his sons are not as free spending as George was. And another thing is, there's a lot on the line here. If he, let's say he gets hurt, which he has gotten hurt a lot. Let's say he gets hurt, right? Are the Yankees going to want to pay him? Now, listen, there's going to be fan pressure, right? You know, but not if they choke. That's what I'm saying. It's a delicate situation here that could go a lot of different ways, right, with Aaron Judge. In that, like, you know, like I said, like, if let's say they have a great season, which they're having a great season. They got swept today, and we'll see if this Donaldson stuff is this domino effect of, like, some losing streak or something. But let's just say they cruise through the season, whatever. They get to the playoffs, and they get swept. Or they lose or whatever. And, you know, Judge strikes out a million times and stuff. The Yankees might not want to re-sign him, right? Like I said, man, Steinbrenner, these guys don't play around, man. He might say, you know what? We've had this guy on our team for all these years, and we never won, so why am I going to pay him? We don't win with him. I'll give the money to someone else, right? Because that's the other thing the Yankees can always fall back on. If, like, they don't keep him, they can always say, well, we signed this guy and that guy and this guy. But if you'll notice, right, like, they got criticized a lot in the offseason. Like, people actually mocked the Josh Donaldson stuff. They're like, really? This is it? This is what you're doing? You got Josh Donaldson? This is what the big Yankee rebuild is? And listen, so far, they're killing it. But really, and I'm not one of these guys, I don't like saying, oh, look at their schedule, because, you know, you play everyone in the league, but the Yankees' schedule really, really, really has been soft to start the year. They play Baltimore again this week. They're playing them again. Like, dude, how many times you got to play Baltimore? Are we getting into, like, 13 times now? Like, 10 times? Like, I mean, seriously, by the end of the week, it'll be 13, whatever? Like, seriously, like, we'll add it up. Look how many times they played Baltimore already, this team. Like, the, you know, like, really, like, the Yankees' schedule has really been soft. It's going to get trickier, like, coming up in the next week and a half. Like, I think next week, yeah, whatever, the next couple of weeks it gets tougher. But, I'm just saying, there's no lock. And it's funny because I was thinking, you know what, Aaron Judge going to be a free agent. People are going to go after him. And he's from Linden, California, which is, he's a giant guy. He's a giant guy. And I was thinking this, but I didn't think the Giants. I thought, dear God, can you imagine if the Angels went after him and did this? If they said, all right, you know what, we're gonna put Ohtani, Trout, and Judge back to back to back in our lineup here. Right, we're gonna go after the Dodgers. We're going after everybody. This is it. We, you know, Marino, I'm all in. He's done it before. I'm all in. Let's go. Right? And so I think what's gonna happen with Judge is, I think even if the Yankees want to re-sign, I mean, look, word is he wants $300 million, and word is they offer $225. That's a big gap, all right? That number one's a big gap. And we're not even into other teams being allowed to start throwing big money at this thing yet. And I think just in the state of California, there's going to be a bidding war. And John, and I was thinking this, and then boom, now I see a report, John Heyman, who's on top of things. John Heyman reports that Aaron Judge already has his eye on one National League team, that the old, oh, if he leaves New York, he's got his eye on a National League team already. And that team is the San Francisco Giants. He grew up watching Giant games. Barry Bonds and stuff, right? The Giants tried to get Bryce Harper. The Giants have money. The Giants have big money. They sell out all the time. Like it's a big money operation they're running. And I'll tell you right now. So if the Dodgers will know this right away, right? So the Dodgers right away, even if they didn't want him, they're going to have to think about him now. Like, so it's one of these deals. It's like, well, do we really want him going to San Francisco? Well, if they're going to offer him $320, let's just offer him $350 and whatever. We'll block that, and we'll add him to our, like, super lineup. Like I said, the Angels to me would be, you know what I mean? San Diego have already spent a lot of money, and you know they're going to be getting Tatis back, but not till late June. Can you believe the Manny Machado? We should have got in on that MVP stuff when we had the opportunity at plus 650. What a weekend he had. Oh, my God. What a weekend San Diego had. It's amazing, too, because last year the Dodgers won 106 games and didn't win a division. And you could say, well, it didn't matter. No, it did matter. It did. They had to play in a wild card. They had to, like, everything, like, they were done. Right, the Dodgers, it's crazy that they had to extend as much energy as they did for a team that won as much as they did. But they were trying to win the division. They were battling until the last damn day of the regular season. They had to play in the wild card. Then they get San Francisco, you know what I mean? And then that was emotionally draining. And that was like Auburn, Alabama type stuff, where it was like, listen, we can't lose to San Francisco. Well, you know, you don't win the World Series. You can't lose to San Francisco in the playoffs. Right, and you know, they hit the wall. So you figure, all right, this year, I thought this year would be a little bit easier for the Dodgers. I didn't think San Francisco were going to disappear, but I was like, they're not winning 107 games. And now suddenly it's San Diego. Last year it was San Francisco. This year it's San Diego. And this is very favorable right now for San Diego. Like, this isn't a fluke. It's not like, oh, let's see if they can keep it up. No. They're, you know what I mean? They're only going to get better as the year goes on. It's not like they're going to get worse when Tatis comes back. And they're playing great baseball without him. We know that they have strong pitching. Machado really is right now. He's the best player in baseball. I mean, you could argue he's the best player in baseball. Right? I guess Ohtani, but without doubt he's the best player in the National League. I mean, the Dodgers are doing everything they possibly can. The Dodgers are on pace to win 112 games, and they're only a half game up right now. Like, San Diego are literally only a half game behind the Dodgers right now. And San Francisco are sort of mortal after just getting swept. They're 22-18, suddenly 5 games back. Impressive weekend for San Diego. Big time stuff. Like winning division games like that, beating a division rival like that, and being a half game back, knowing that you're getting an all-star caliber player back in about, I don't know, 5 weeks, I guess, 6 weeks, 5-6 weeks. Evel Knievel, as long as he stays off a bike. What is it with these dudes and bikes? Remember Jeff Kent? You know, the weirdest thing with Jeff Kent was he lied. I think he told Jim Rome that he fell off his truck. He was washing his truck and he fell off of it. It's a big truck. He was leaning up. He said he fell off it. It turned out, it's like, no, I didn't. He didn't like fall off a truck. He actually crashed a motorcycle. He actually crashed a motorcycle. So the Yankees, listen, the Yankees have had a really good thing going. Let's just to wrap up this stuff here. You know, like I said, they're kind of lucky that their schedule is just soft all the time because they could be vulnerable, right? They could be vulnerable, especially if it's like, yeah, you know what? Josh Donaldson pissed off some of his own teammates now by saying what he said. But I don't really think that's the case so much so. But as far as the White Sox are concerned, it worked for the White Sox. La Russa's little tantrum, he lit the fire. Listen, everybody questioned La Russa's hiring, including myself. They ended up making the playoffs, but so what? They played in a bad division. And it won't end well with La Russa. He's too angry. And even though the name of my show is Sports Rage, he's too angry. Like, if he's, this guy, like, hates the clouds, he hates the moon, he hates the sun, he hates the media, he hates the opponent, he hates everybody. It leads to a whacked out clubhouse. This is The Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quickest 100 demons in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Man, it really is quick tonight. Holy. Holy. When I was watching Batman earlier this morning, and that's what Robin said, holy fruit salad. I was thinking, holy fruit salad. I was watching Batman, like the old Batman. I woke up early today. And I was watching, like, Wonder Woman and Batman and stuff, like, before all the games started. And it was very frustrating because, like, these old Batmans, they always end, like, basically, you know what I mean? Like, Batman is screwed type of deal. Like, Batman is, like, you know, chained to something, and the Joker's, I've got you this time, and, like, all that. And they always end the same thing. How will Batman get out of this? Tune in tomorrow, the same bat time, the same bat channel, and the show ends. Except stupid me TV doesn't run this stuff in order. So it ends, and then another one just comes on randomly. So you never know what happened after. I'm like, well, I assume he got out of it. And I was watching some French Open tennis earlier in the day. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Big screw job. We'll bring Matthias in later on level three. Big screw job last night at UFC. People at Holly Holm and parlays weren't too happy after one of the worst decisions in recent memory. But yeah, shout out to Suter Lisa. I enjoyed the golf tournament this week, Lisa. I'm sure you did. Yeah, holy fruit salad. I'm always looking for holy new one, right? I heard Kramer drop a holy sweet Maria the other day. I like the holy fruit salad, though. Holy fruit salad. What the hell happened with the Dodgers today? So I said people were bitching in our chat. Listen, every time the Dodgers don't win by five, our chat explodes. They blew it today. We let them off the hook. It was one of those deals. It was crazy. Muncy could have ended the game. It was a hard hit ground ball. Could have been game over. It wasn't. It is what it is. This is Sports Rage.